In an ever-changing world with ever-changing lives, Life Changes Network presents a voice of truth and inspiration. This is Life Changes with Filippo, with the unforgettable, ever-insightful conversation that captivates our fascination and insatiability for the inspiring moments of real-life journeys. As we, as one, strive for higher planes of existence and a better understanding of ourselves and the world in which we live, always remembering, life changes. This is radio like you've never felt before. This is Life Changes with Filippo, with tonight's guest, Gary Zukav, who is a spiritual teacher and author of four consecutive New York Times bestsellers. And now your host, our MC, the master of change, Filippo Voltaggio.
Ciao, everyone. And thank you, Mark, for that introduction full of big words. I'm excited to have Gary on our show tonight. We've wanted him for quite some time. He's quite a busy man, and finally he's here. He's here also because he's going to be appearing at the Mastery Conference on Saturday, October the 22nd here in Los Angeles. That's the Reconnective Healing and the Reconnection Mastery Conference of 2011. For more information, do go to thereconnection.com. We'll be talking a little bit more about that later. This is a really great time to have Gary on, especially since this morning I was reflecting on the little whirlwind tour I had during September. While I was traveling mainly back east, I was singing and doing shows in Connecticut and Long Island. Though they're always special for me, I love the audiences and I love what I do when I'm singing. I love what I do when I'm on radio as well. This trip, I decided to, in a sense, dedicate to my mother. She's been alone since my father passed 10 years ago, and I've invited her to different concerts and events that I've done, and she hasn't ventured out. She lives here in California, and I said to her, this time you just have to come. And I just felt like it was really important for her. Little did I know, it would be really important for me and for a lot of other people. I invited my mother to fly out with me to New York, and she stayed with some relatives and came to the shows that I did. And I came up with this idea that since I speak about my family a lot during my shows, during the radio shows, during the live events and the concerts, when I'm singing, etc., and I tell stories about my family, I thought, I'm going to introduce my mother to the audiences that I've been singing to all these years about and telling stories about my mother. And so I brought my mother on stage just to introduce her to the audience. And the first show was 5,000 or 6,000 people in the audience, and all I did was bring her on, and she looked out into the audience, and everybody stood up and gave her a standing ovation. And I got emotional, and she got emotional, and little did I know, but afterwards, everybody in the audience, or so many people came up to me and told me how emotional they got because I honored my mother in that way. So the second show, I decided to take it one step further, and I invited my mother up on stage, and this time I sang to her an Italian song about a mother, which is called Mamma, which means mother in Italian, and I sang to her that song. And for the first time, the words of that song really meant something to me more than they had ever meant before. And then the third concert, I did it again, et cetera, et cetera. And people in the audience told me how they were moved by the relationship between my mother and I. And it made me look at and think about the relationship between my mother and I. And at one point, the last couple days before coming back to California, I stayed with my mother and her cousins at their home as the concerts were all done and we were getting ready to come back. And my mother was serving me, making me something to eat in the morning and making me coffee. And I thought to myself, I removed myself from the normal mother and son relationship in the way that we'd normally been relating. And at the end of this journey trip that we took, I was looking at it differently. And I was thinking to myself, if it's true that as some people believe, that we have had many different kinds of relationships before with specific people in our lives in quote-unquote past lives. And if it's true that we might have relationships of different kind after this lifetime, this particular moment in my life right now, this particular relationship that I am having with this particular being who maybe we've chosen for her to be my mother, me to be her son this time around, might be the only time we do this. And I want to be able to, from here forward, experience the specialness of however this plays out and however beautiful it can play out from this moment on, and really honor the sacredness of this relationship. And I started to get emotional. And then I started to extrapolate into other significant relationships in my life. I thought about my business partners. I thought about my friends. I thought about my siblings. And I thought how really and truly these people that we think we're working together or we think we're playing together, but we're really relating, but we're really shaping each other's lives. Even the audiences, I told the audience for the first time ever, I said to them, I love you. You know, in one particular show, I've been doing that particular concert for 14 years in a row. And some of those people in that audience, whether I know it or not, we've been in a relationship for 14 years every year. And I started to see beyond what looks like the audience and me, my mother and me and my business partners, me and my friends, like as if there's something else going on. And I'm so glad that Gary is on our show today because I also want to talk to him about that because his books really get to the seat, if you will, of what these relationships may be truly about, maybe have always been about, but we've never thought about them that way. And this is a perfect time for me in my life to be having this conversation with our guest, Gary Zukav, which will be happening right after this.
Clean water is not enough. Reverse osmosis, distilled water, and most bottled waters are devoid of naturally occurring minerals. They are acidic, unstructured, and hard to absorb and rob minerals from the body. IonWays ionizers produce a super abundant supply of powerful antioxidants in each glass. Ionized water has a reduced molecular cluster size and a negative charge, hydrating you up to 6 times better. Water from an IonWays ionizer will help you restore your body to its natural pH balance, boosting your vitality. And ionized water more effectively flushes acidic toxins from within your body. Drink the healthiest water available today. IonWays Water Systems, their water changes everything. To learn more about IonWays Water Systems and how you can own one today, visit our website at lifechangeswithfilippo.com and click on our sponsor page. You are listening to Life Changes with Filippo on the BBS Radio Network with your host, Filippo Voltaggio. You can visit us online via Twitter and Facebook and at lifechangeswithfilippo.com. That's Filippo, F-I-L-I-P-P-O.
We're back. I am Filippo, and our guest is Gary Zukav today, who's the author of 4 consecutive New York Times bestsellers. In 1979, he wrote The Dancing Wu Li Masters, an overview of the new physics, which plumbed in the depths of quantum physics and relativity, winning the American Book Award for Science. In 1989, The Seat of the Soul, which is how I came to know Gary many years ago, led the way to seeing the alignment of the personality and the soul as the fulfillment of life and captured the imagination of millions, becoming the number one New York Times, listen to this, bestseller 31 times and remaining on the New York Times bestseller list almost 3 years. In 2000, Gary Zukav wrote Soul Stories, another New York Times bestseller, and then co-authored 2 more bestsellers with his spiritual partner, Linda Francis. These co-creations, The Heart of the Soul, Emotional Awareness, and The Mind of the Soul, Responsible Choice, were published in 2002 and 2003. Well, now Gary reveals a revolutionary new path for spiritual growth in his book, Spiritual Partnership, The Journey to Authentic Power. He outlines the steps to developing this profound new relationship dynamic, which enables and empowers us to reach our full potential and create authentic power and the fulfilling and joyful life that is calling to us all. You, of course, know him from his books, and from his over 30 appearances on the Oprah Winfrey Show. His books have been translated into 24 different languages and have sold over 6 million copies. We are so grateful to have Gary Zukav on the show. Welcome, Gary.
Hello, Filippo. It's good to be here.
We actually met at a Conscious Life Expo, and we had a few minutes together, and from that moment I thought, we need to have this conversation, and we haven't been able to connect between your busy schedule and our guests. And then now that I've had this experience with my mother and the extrapolation that you heard in the intro, I thought, divine right timing, and here is Gary to help us understand what is going on with this.
Well, you're becoming multisensory. And so are millions of other people. And by multisensory, I mean you are beginning to, or are developing a sensory system in addition to the sensory system of your five senses, your ability to see and hear and smell and touch and taste things. And this is happening to so many of us now. Our perception is expanding beyond previous limitations. And we are able to begin to experience things in a different way. And one of the things that we experience in a different way is our relationships with other people. Another thing we experience in a different way is the world. Another thing that we experience in a different way is ourselves. We begin to experience ourselves as more than bodies and minds, but rather as a personality and a soul at the same time. All of this is the great transformation in consciousness that's happening now. It's an expansion of perceptual capabilities beyond what almost everyone had in the past. And in the future, within a few generations, almost everyone will have. It's an enormous transformation, and your experience of being with your mother and sensing perhaps more of a relationship than this single lifetime with her can explain or plumb the depth of his multisensory perception. And it's real.
You know, how do people know that they are getting into that? How do they know that they're in that process?
There's lots of ways to know. For me, I didn't even know what multisensory perception was the first time I experienced it, and in retrospect, it seemed pretty clear. I was at my grandmother's funeral, and she used to walk me through this large building that she lived when she was old, called Twin Oaks in Kansas City. And we'd have dinner in the restaurant, and then we'd walk through the lobby, and it was an ocean of gray hair. And my grandmother was holding me by the hand each time we'd do this, and she'd say, "You remember Mrs. or you remember Mr. and so-and-so." And once I said, "But I don't remember him." And she jerked down on my hand, and she said, "Shh," like that. And that was a common thing that she would do when she wanted to quiet me. And then she passed on, and she was my favorite grandmother, and I suspect that I might have been her favorite grandchild, and I saw her a lot. I would come back to Kansas City when I was a student at Harvard and overnight with her there before returning to the small town in Kansas where I came from. And when she passed on, I was in a funeral home, the funeral home, and the rabbi was giving a eulogy for her. And the audience was sitting in a room that was the long part of an L, and there was an alcove just to the rabbi's right. That was the short part of the L. And there was a closed-circuit TV on the wall for us, or on the ceiling for us, so that we could see the rabbi as the audience in front of him could see him. Well, this was a long time ago, and closed-circuit TV was novel. And it so seemed strange to me that I could see the rabbi speaking as though I were in the audience, even though I was over here with the family in the alcove, and I started to giggle and then to laugh. And suddenly my grandmother jerked down on my hand, and she said, "Shh." She didn't want me disturbing her funeral. She wanted to enjoy it. So I could never miss her because she didn't go anywhere. And I didn't tell my parents about this for a long time, maybe 20 or 30 years, because I knew in the moment that they would think that I was distraught or it was desperate wish fulfillment that my grandmother wasn't gone, or that it was a way of masking my pain. But none of those things were happening. I was with Grandma Libby, and I was enjoying her, and she was quieting me so that she could attend her funeral.
Mm.
So that was my first experience of multisensory perception. But there were more to come. Lots more. When I was writing The Dancing Woolly Masters, which was a book about quantum physics and relativity and particle physics and Bell's theorem, I had never written a book before, and I'd never been interested in science before, but I'd become very interested in these topics because I'd been invited to be a guest at a Friday afternoon meeting at the Lawrence Berkeley Laboratory. And so I began to write this book with pure excitement because I wanted to give as a gift to people who would come after me what I was learning from the physicists there, who all agreed to help me. And as I was writing this book, after a while, I began to realize that this book was smarter than I was, and it was more comprehensive in its grasp of concepts than I was, and it was funnier than I was.
Hmm.
And I realized that I wasn't writing this book alone.
Mm.
I didn't channel it. It wasn't that easy. It was a lot of fun, but I had to put all of my intelligence and all of my commitment and all of my creativity and all of my love of language into the book.
Mm.
But afterwards, I realized that it's not possible to be alone. And I decided that whatever it was that I was co-creating with, I wanted more of it.
Mm.
And not only that, I wanted to live my life the way this book was being written, which was spontaneously, intelligently, joyfully. And I've come a distance down that road now. That book was my first experience of authentic power, although I didn't know what that meant at the time. And it was everything that I saw it would be. That's multisensory perception again. I knew when I was writing the book that it would be published. And I knew that it would be received well. And I knew that it would be read by people for a long time. And this was when I was writing about a subject that I had never liked before. A book that I never thought of myself as a writer, or at least not in that sense. But all of those things came to pass. The book was published. It was praised, lavishly praised in the New York Times the day that it was released. It was picked up by every major book club, and it won the American Book Award for Science, and it's still selling around the world. And that was a long time ago.
Hmm,
so that was multisensory perception, too. I saw, I won't say what was going to happen. I saw what was going to happen if I did my part. All I had to do was keep writing, was to keep creating or co-creating the book. And everything that was, and it wasn't as though this was a mystical experience. I saw it, just like I'm seeing the room that I'm sitting in now. And all of those things came to pass. The thing that I didn't foresee is how well accepted it would be, or how successful it would be. Now, these are all experiences of multisensory perception.
Mm.
And when you begin to experience yourself as more than you thought you were, that's multisensory perception too. When you begin to notice that you know things about other people that you couldn't know and your five senses couldn't tell you. For example, the common experience of someone calling just when you're thinking of that person.
Right.
Or you call someone and they say, I was just thinking about you. These are multisensory experiences. And we're all, over the next several generations, going to acquire them. And millions of us are acquiring them right now.
You know, now that you say that, Gary, I'm thinking how jokingly I've been saying recently, stop saying I was just thinking about you and being surprised about it. Be surprised when I call and you weren't thinking about me. That's the time you should be surprised.
That's right. When as we become multisensory, it's the beginning, or actually for some people it happens very quickly, a sense that we're not separate. And that in some way we're connected, but connected is not quite the right word. How could you say that your arm's connected to your body? It's a part of your body.
Mm.
And so as we began to sense each other as intimately connected, then, and not only that, long-term neighbors, like, for example, not just a long-term neighbor in a neighborhood, but long-term neighbors in eternity, like you begin to think of your mother. Maybe you've been together in other places, in other times, in different situations, in different roles, and maybe you will be so again. Well, that's not just a whimsical thought. Most of the world's population, I would say well more than half, which means the Buddhist and the Hindu portions, believe or read about or are taught about reincarnation, which is exactly what you're talking about.
Mm.
I'm not saying that that many of them have experienced it. In fact, I suspect that not a lot of them have. But now that we're becoming multisensory, a whole lot of them are going to, including a whole lot of Christians and Jews and atheists and people from all over the world. And every culture.
You know, Gary, long before I consciously started this journey, you just reminded me of something. And long before I read any of your books or anybody else's on the subject, one of my brothers got married and I was his best man and I gave the toast. And out of my mouth came, since he was older than I, out of my mouth came these words that my brother couldn't wait for me to be born. And we knew we would have a good time, and we were looking forward to seeing each other again. And that the audience or the guests at the wedding, many of them came up and told me how beautiful that was. I didn't know what I was saying, frankly, or why I was saying it. But for some reason, at that moment, it felt right to say that. And
did your brother ever tell you that?
No, not at all. Not that I recall, no.
Mm-hmm. That is multisensory perception, very clearly. You knew that, and you shared it.
Yeah, and so it seems like the relationship that he and I have had growing up is not the normal just two brothers, you know, who just met each other kind of thing. It's as if it's a continuation, and that's what I've experienced with some friends, that it just feels like, oh, and now we're doing this. And so I'm really glad we're having this conversation, and you wrote this book, and because it's bringing a whole, well, obviously, a dimension to our relationships, exactly that.
Yes, and by the way, I want to say to all of our listeners that I don't suggest that you take anything that I say is true simply because I say it, or that anybody says as true simply because they say it, and also don't take as true anything that anybody writes just because they write it. Instead, see if you resonate with what you hear or what you read.
Right.
That means if you have a sense of perhaps hearing something or reading something valuable to you. And if you do, then make a note of it, remember it, ponder it, meditate on it. And there's no one in the world that can tell you to do that except you. Creating authentic power is becoming the authority in your own life. And no one is more of an authority on your life than you.
Mm.
You can begin that now.
Gary, I'm glad you said that, actually, because I believe that there's a time and a place for us to get certain understandings, and too soon, and we don't have the foundation by which to base all of this. But is there such a thing as too late?
No, and there's not such a thing as too soon either. If you look at your experiences, start to see them carefully, eventually, or maybe quickly, you'll see that every experience that you're in, every situation that you're in, offers you an opportunity to grow spiritually. Now, what I mean by that is to become aware of what you are experiencing inside yourself, and to either act in a way that's destructive and habitual, or to choose instead in that moment, no matter what's going on inside of you or outside of you, to choose to act constructively, even if it's a new thing for you to do. In other words, that every interaction in your life and every thought, every experience, gives you an opportunity to distinguish within yourself the difference between love and fear, and to choose love, no matter what you are experiencing, even if it's painful. And, excuse me, did I say choose fear? If I did, I misspoke. To choose love, no matter what you're experiencing, even if it's painful. And if you're feeling fear, it will be painful. So that's the creation of authentic power, distinguishing love from fear within yourself and always choosing love, which is something that I think everybody in this audience would agree to. The question becomes, how can you do that? Especially how can you do that when you're angry or you're jealous or you're upset or you're worried or you're overwhelmed? That's the practice. That's where emotional awareness to show you whether you're experiencing a part of your personality that's loving or a part of your personality that's frightened. For example, those things I mentioned, anger, jealousy, superiority, inferiority, whether you're acting on any kind of compulsion or addiction, whenever you do that, you're acting on a part of your personality that originates in fear. Mm. And as you develop the ability to recognize them and challenge them by not acting on them, they begin to lose their control over you. And as you do that again and again, their control over you disintegrates. And that's how you create an authentically powerful life. And that's how everything, that's what everything that I do and I do with Linda Francis, my spiritual partner, is about. It's about creating authentic power and spiritual partnerships. That's what we're going to be talking about at the Reconnection at the Mastery Conference in Los Angeles. And I'm not saying, by the way, that I'm a master. But I am saying that I've changed my life from someone who at one time was a Green Beret officer in Vietnam and afterwards was doing experiments with drugs, to put it mildly, was riding motorcycles, was a sex addict, was angry, was jealous, into who I am now, which is very different. Well, that's what I've done, and if I can do that, anyone can do it. And doing that is developing mastery in your life. That's the same as creating authentic power.
Now, Gary, I'm sorry to interrupt. I have to ask you a question. Had I known you back then, and had I known what you are sharing with me today, but you didn't at the time, if I said to you, but Gary, you're supposed to, or you would rather know this and be this way, would that, was it wrong what you were doing, or you needed to take that time to go through that process? Do you know what I mean?
I think I do. In answer to your question, if you had told me what I was just sharing with you, none of it, not only would none of it have made sense, I would have dismissed it as nonsense. Because at that time in my life, I was so frightened, I didn't even know how frightened I was. I knew I was frightened to go on equipment jumps at night. I knew that I was frightened to go on combat patrols. I knew I was frightened to do many of the things that I did in the military, but I didn't know how frightened I was of trying and failing, or how frightened I was of being ridiculed, or how frightened I was of not living up to my expectations, or the expectations that I thought other people had of me. Mm. And there's a word for that. When you're too frightened to even consider the possibility that you're really frightened, that's macho. And I was macho.
Mm.
Very much, very much. So I would have been dismissive. By the way, whenever you try to change someone, whenever you try to make someone think the way you want them to think so you'll feel better about yourself, that's the pursuit of external power, not authentic power.
Well, then let me ask you this, Gary. So we're going to break to a quick commercial here in a second, but I just have to ask you, if I know an old Gary Zukav in my life, if there's somebody that is macho now, and I know this person, do I give him one of your books, or do I share him with him or her some of this information, or do I just say they'll get it when it's their time?
You see if he's open or not. Experiment a little bit. And if there's an openness, then do what's appropriate. There's always, it's the intention that you have when you share with someone. When we come back from break, I'll give you examples of how much it's possible to influence a person, especially when you have no attachment to the outcome and your intention comes from love.
That sounds key. That sounds key. And actually, and when we do come back from break, I also want to talk about, obviously, spiritual partnerships, which we have been talking about. But you mentioned something that I always thought should be included in wedding vows. So we'll talk about that when we come back. We're talking to Gary Zukav here on Life Changes with Filippo, who will be appearing at the U.S. Mastery Conference here in 2011 on Saturday, October the 22nd in Los Angeles. For more information, go to thereconnection.com. You can also go to lifechangeswithfilippo.com and you'll get all the information there as well. We'll be right back with Gary Zukav right after this.
There are self-help seminars costing thousands of dollars guaranteeing miraculous transformations. There are compelling speakers and life-changing weekend experiences where you can walk on fire. They all deliver revelations that guarantee you'll come back for the more expensive revelations filled with even greater wonder next month on Fiji. We get addicted to positive, heartfelt, expensive theater. What we really need is a jumpstart, an awakening, someone who can give us a reminder that everything we need lies within. Through inspiration and practical knowledge, Dorothy Donahue helps people get grounded and motivated, inspired and energized. It's not just words and affirmations and the power of intention. It's a mindset brought about by a tangible, transcendental experience, an audio-visual, physical, spiritual experience that helps us realize we transform ourselves. We get tools to become the conscious co-creators of lives of unlimited potential. Find out more. Go to DorothyDonahue.com.
You are listening to Life Changes with Filippo on the BBS Radio Network with our host, Filippo Voltaggio. You can hear tonight's show and all our past shows, which include luminaries such as David Wilcock, Mariel Hemingway, Giorgio Tsoukalos, Marcy Shymoff, and Shadow Stevens on our archive page at our website at lifechangeswithfilippo.com. That's Filippo, F-I-L-I-P-P-O.com. Remember, you can also connect with us via Twitter and Facebook, and now in our own community at lifechangesnetwork.com, where real people come together to share real life in real time. That's lifechangesnetwork.com.
We're back, and I am Filippo Voltaggio, and today our guest is Gary Zukav, who is a legendary. His books are legendary. He's got many more years of sharing wonderful things with us, so I hate to use that word for people, but definitely his books are legendary, and his appearances actually are as well. He's appeared on the Oprah Winfrey Show over 30 times, and he has endeared audiences in the millions from his many books. You, of course, probably remember him from Seat of the Soul. His new book, Spiritual Partnership, is what we're talking about today. And Gary, before the break, you said that you remember what you said. Please share with us.
You asked me, Filippo, if you had told me some of the things about multisensory perception and authentic power at a time when I was in my 20s and very macho, if I had, you asked me if I would have heard you or understood them, and I said the answer is no. But then you said, well, should you have just, you knew such a person, and should you just let this person be, knowing that at the right time that person would move into where he needs to be? That's always the case, but if a person is open, you will always find the ability to help. If a person's not, you will never, but you can plant some seeds. Like this happened once to me just after I got out of the Army and I was in Hong Kong. And I had stepped out of a hotel, and I was wearing a suit, and I snuffed out my Marlboros. I always smoked them because they made me feel so manly on the sidewalk. And I started to walk away when I felt this tap on my shoulder. And I turned around, and there was this small, old Chinese man with a big smile on his face that went ear to ear, and he was holding his arm out to me, and between his forefinger and his thumb was my cigarette butt. He was returning it to me.
Mm.
And he was so wonderful to look at. Without thinking, I put my hand out, and he put the cigarette butt in the palm of my hand, and he was still smiling so beautifully. Mm. And I thanked him. And I put the cigarette butt in my suit pocket, and I walked away thinking, my goodness, the people in Hong Kong certainly are clean. Well, actually, that's not my experience of Hong Kong overall, but that's what I felt in that moment. Now, years later, 30 or 35 years later, I was in a small town in the mountains where I was living, and I was walking behind two teenagers, and they were walking in front of me, chewing, talking, walking, oblivious to what was around them, and one of them finished his candy bar and, with a swing of his arm behind him, threw the paper wrapping almost at my feet. He didn't know I was behind him. And a rage flew up in me, and I felt like whirling him around and saying, "What are you doing? How dare you do this to my town, to my sidewalk? Don't you know other people live here? What kind of an animal are you?" On and on it went in my head. And then I remembered this old man in Hong Kong decades ago. Here I was, a foreigner, a white person in Hong Kong, befouling his sidewalk. And he didn't do any of that. If he had, we'd have gotten in a huge explosive argument. Instead, he went straight into my heart. He couldn't have done it with just a smile. It was the energy behind that smile that I remember still.
Wow.
And at that moment, I realized that so long ago, I met a master. He's long left the earth school, but he still is alive in me. That's what an intention that comes from love can do.
Wow. Without, which is what you started to say before the break, that if our intention is from love or without expectation or however you said that, and maybe we are that moment where they change, but if we try and force it upon them when they're not ready, then that won't happen because we can't change them. But if we don't speak, if we feel like it's appropriate to speak from love, then they might miss the opportunity to have grown if they were ready.
Well, it depends on your intention. If your intention is to change someone so that you'll feel better about yourself, that will create problems. That's the pursuit of external power. That's understanding power is the ability to manipulate and to control. But
yes.
I'm talking about power as the alignment of your personality with your soul, using your own awareness and your own will, creating a life in which you are able to bring the energy of your soul and its intentions, harmony, cooperation, sharing, and reverence for life into the Earth School.
Well, Gary, that is really beautiful, and I'm certainly taking that away from this interview with me today. There's something that I see in the book that you talk about spiritual partners, and ironically, at first, before getting into it, I thought it was going to be kind of like divine compliments or soulmate kind of thing. But of course, as we've talked about throughout the interview, it's from everything from our mothers to our business partners and friends and relatives and all that kind of stuff. And however, you mentioned how spiritual partners stay together as long as they grow together. And I've always thought that should be in marriage vows, that it should say that that they'll be together for as long as they both shall grow. And here you are not only applying that necessarily to marriage, but also to all kinds of other partnerships.
Well, spiritual partnership is new. It's a partnership. Spiritual partnership is a partnership between equals for the purpose of spiritual growth. And this kind of relationship has not existed in the past because we were a five-sensory species in the past. Now we're becoming a multi-sensory species. And we're beginning to see that we evolve not by just surviving. We evolve by growing spiritually. And that means creating authentic power. Spiritual partners are all or both. It's not just a couple's dynamic. Spiritual partners are each committed to growing spiritually, to doing their own work of becoming emotionally aware, of making responsible choices, of challenging the parts of their personality that originate in fear, such as anger and jealousy and resentment, and by not acting on them, and cultivating the loving parts of their personality, such as gratitude and appreciation and patience, by acting on them. They can't change one another, but they can support one another. They're committed to their own spiritual growth, and they're committed to supporting each other. And that doesn't mean teaching or preaching or trying to change each other, but supporting one another in the changes that each is committed to making. That's the new dynamic. And it's got different energy. That's the new relationship, and it's got different dynamics than any relationship in the past, whether it's marriage or friendship or commercial relationships. Spiritual partnership is now infusing every relationship. Marriage is an ancient archetype. It's designed for five sensory humans. It's designed to enhance the probability of survival and, more recently, comfort on the part of the marriage partners. But spiritual partners are not together to assuage each other's fears or to help each other become more financially or physically successful. They are there to help one another grow spiritually, and they are each committed to growing spiritually. So if one spiritual partner ceases to grow or to want to grow spiritually, for example, if someone is angry and won't challenge his anger, reaches a place where he says, look, I'm angry, now get off my back, stay off my back, I'm not going to change, I don't want to change, so stop it. Then he's turning his back on spiritual growth. Instead, he's cultivating a frightened part of his personality. Now, that's not a good thing or a bad thing in the sense of most of us think of good and bad. It's a cause, and every cause has effects. So when you choose to act on a frightened part of your personality, you create effects or consequences that are painful and destructive. And that's what he's choosing to do. And if he's choosing not to grow spiritually, then there's no reason for the spiritual partnership. The spiritual partnership is for equals who are both committed to growing spiritually and helping one another. If one of them stops doing that, the very reason for the partnership disappears and the partnership dissolves. It's an energy dynamic. It will always happen. And this doesn't mean, by the way, that spiritual partners don't get angry. If one of them has a frightened part of her personality that's angry, she'll get angry a lot because that is an opportunity for her to grow spiritually. Her anger is a spiritual path for her, not an obstacle to her spirituality. So her anger will come up a lot. And it may be that she'll get stuck in it now and then. And it may take a day or days before she realizes that she doesn't want to relate to her partners that way, that she loves them. And it's not how she wants to live her life. But if she reaches a place where she will not challenge her anger, then her spiritual partnerships will disintegrate, at least for her. Because it'll be a natural thing. She'll become less and less interested in her former spiritual partners because they're interested in other things, and they will become less interested in interacting with her. They'll still love her, but the reason for their being together will have disappeared. And that's why spiritual partners stay together as long as they grow together. And when they stop growing together, they move apart.
Well, you know, Gary, it's interesting. You were reading my mind there for a moment as you were answering the questions that were coming up in my head, and I liked that. Thank you. Now, this brings up another question for me, and that is when I think of spiritual partners, maybe because of the word spiritual, I've always associated to more joy and divine right timing and all that wonderful stuff. That to look at it, though, when you say that there could be anger and fear and all that, and as you grow, when the other partner no longer wants to participate in a relationship where there is anger and fear, or chooses to learn from fear and hate and anger, then they're still growing through fear and hate and anger. It just doesn't feel like spiritual partnership to me.
Well, they're not growing through fear and hate and anger. If they're growing, they're growing by challenging their fear, challenging their anger, challenging their hate, which means experiencing it as fully as they can and not acting on it. That's how you create authentic power. That's where the rubber meets the spiritual road. Becoming fully aware in your life, emotionally aware of what you're feeling in terms of physical sensations in your body, for example, in your throat area, in your chest area, in your solar plexus area, and it'll be painful when a frightened part of your personality is active, and not acting on it. Seeing the thoughts of a frightened part of your personality, which will be critical or judgmental of others or yourself, and not acting on that frightened part of your personality. So if you have a partner or a friend who is angry, and your friend's anger is activating frightened parts of your personality, you can learn from that experience by challenging your own reactions, not your friend's reactions, but your reactions, because changing you is your job. And you'll find it's the biggest one that you have to do in your life. My Sioux uncle once told me, Tonshka, nephew, the longest trip you're going to make is between here, and he put his fingers on his forehead, and here, and he put his fingers on his chest. That's creating authentic power. And there's a way to do it. It involves awareness, and it involves your will. I'm not saying to stay in a toxic or an abusive relationship. That's not healthy, and I don't feel that it's wise. But there's learning in whatever you do. You can't make a bad choice in the Earth School. You can make a choice that creates painful, destructive, difficult consequences. And they will provide you opportunities to learn and make new choices. You can also make choices that create blissful, constructive, healthy consequences. And they will also offer you opportunities to learn, to choose again the same thing, to create healthy, constructive, wholesome consequences. All roads lead to home. You are not judged. Every moment offers you an opportunity to grow spiritually. And if you can't... See, let me put it this way. You said earlier in the show that you can sense or feel a deep relationship between friends or colleagues or even business associates. But I'm not talking about experiencing the deep interactions that you have with people or a multisensory perception of past interactions, simply with friends and people who feel good, people who are brutal and in your life, or also people that you've been with before, and they are there to assist you in your learning as well. The Dalai Lama says we can learn more from our enemies than we can from our friends, and maybe this is what he's talking about. Your enemies will push your buttons. Your enemies will make you impatient, judgmental, enraged. They'll make you feel superior or inferior. But if you really look at it, they can't do any of those things. It's all an appearance. They can activate, and they do activate, dynamics in you that experience these painful emotions of anger or jealousy or superiority or inferiority. But it's not someone else who's making you feel that way. The someone else is just triggering that dynamic in you. And if you don't address that dynamic in you, it remains intact, no matter how much you try to influence the trigger. And sooner or later, usually sooner, it's going to become active again. Mm. And that will continue throughout your life until you realize that it's you need to change. It's you that has to become aware and stop acting destructively, no matter how magnetically attractive your anger is, or that open bottle of alcohol is, or that sexual partner is that you just met, and bring mastery into your life by experiencing the frightened parts of your personality that have been out of your control, experiencing them emotionally, among other ways, and then not acting on them, and instead reaching for the healthiest, most wholesome and grounded part of your personality that you can in the moment, and acting from that.
Wow. 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 Well, thank you for acting on whatever you acted on to write these books, and this book in particular, whose time has certainly come for this new kind of relationship. And this conversation has been perfect timing for me in my life, and I'm sure will be for many in theirs. And if it's perfect timing for all of you to hear Gary Zukav in person, go to the Mastery Conference here on October 22nd in Los Angeles, and to learn more about that.
Philippe, can I mention that we have a website that we designed specifically to support people who are interested in creating authentic power or are doing it, and that is seatofthesoul.com. That's S-E-A-T, like what you sit on, of the S-O-U-L, and it's named after the book, The Seat of the Soul. And I'm mentioning it because there's interviews there, like this one. This one's going to be on that website. There's articles. There's videos. There's questions and answers. We answer questions a lot. There's spiritual partnership guidelines that you can download for free. Everything's for free. And practice those guidelines. So I invite you with all my heart to come visit us at seatofthesoul.com and explore it and use it, experiment with it, download the spiritual partnership guidelines, sign up for Soul Connections, our newsletter, which will have more of just what you and I, Filippo, have been talking about today. And it's just a delight to be on the show with you. We're always thinking of ways, new ways to support people. We're creating an online course now that I hope will be out this year. We're just finishing up a lot of videos for it now. However we can support you in creating authentic power and spiritual partnership, I'd like to do that. So thank you for inviting me on your show. I'm glad that we ran into each other at that conference in Los Angeles, and I'm looking forward to speaking with you or meeting you again sometime. Perhaps you'll come to the conference.
Actually, I not only will be at the conference, but I've just been asked by the people at the Reconnection to get to do some of these interviews on camera, in person for them. So we will be seeing each other at that time.
I'm looking forward to it.
Well, me too. Thank you, Gary, and thank you for taking the time to be with us today. You have a beautiful spiritual day.
You're welcome.
All right. Ciao, Gary. We'll be right back with our producer's wrap, Mark Lejeune, right after this.
Life Changes with Filippo is a premier radio show presented by Life Changes Network, which is a company whose team has dedicated their lives not only to positive change, but to helping others observe and embrace, honor, and even celebrate their own changes, thus enabling a more positive, inspired life and helping to create a more positive and inspired world. From everyday people to corporate giants, celebrities, and children, we are here to help and to serve. With heart and experience, we bring our message and positive intent into your home or corporate office, and even through appearances on your favorite shows. If you wish to learn more about Life Changes Life Coaching and a private consultation with one of us, corporate event appearances, or if you would like us to appear on your radio or TV shows, visit lifechangeswithfilippo.com and click on our representation page. You are listening to Life Changes with Filippo on the BBS Radio Network with your host, Filippo Voltaggio. You can visit us online via Twitter and Facebook and at lifechangeswithfilippo.com. That's Filippo, F-I-L-I-P-P-O.
Well, we're back. I'm Filippo, and I'm here with...
It's Mark.
And we've been talking to Gary Zukav about his new book, Spiritual Partnership. Mark.
How timely was that information?
Yeah. On so many levels.
Something that you and I were just talking about, even outside of knowing that Gary was going to be on and hearing more of the depth of his perspective is so spot on. The changes that we're going through and the way that we're handling them in our relationships with many people around us. That's what I've been doing, noticing in a number of friends and family and trying to check and balance my reactions to things and comparing and contrasting what I may have done in the old way of thinking versus holding myself responsible, or not even that so much as just taking internal action and not pointing, not judging, you know, not blaming, none of that.
Mm-hmm.
And then seeing pretty magical results, you know, unexpected results, watching change happen that looks like you would have directly affected that person, which you did, but yet in terms of the way we used to know things, you know, you wouldn't have thought you did.
Yes. You know, actually, that brings me for some reason to, at the beginning of the show, I talked about the shows that I was doing and bringing my mother up on stage, which I did at every show during that little tour back east in September. But, you know, I didn't mention, and now it's coming to mind based on what you just said, that on the very last show, your mother was in the audience. And after bringing my mother up and singing to her, a couple songs later, I brought up your mother and sang a song to her. And it was interesting, though I didn't feel the same connection, like, this is my mother kind of thing. There was that love there, and your brother was in the audience, and though I had never met him, I felt like I knew him. You know, for that moment, whether I ever see him again or not, there was like having a brother in the audience or a friend in the audience. Do you know what I mean? And why not? And maybe there's so much more than meets the eye there. And I said to you, I feel like I know him. And you said, of course you know him. He's been in my consciousness because he's your brother. Yeah.
Well, not only is he in my consciousness, but you got to think about this. Where our family members were connected energetically. We have shared experiences. We are of, you know, the same lineage and cellular memory, biology, you know, the learning we get from our parents and ancestors and all of those things create a certain vibration. Mm. So there has to be, at some level, an energetic familiarity when you become close to someone to know the people that they are family with or close to, right? So this takes a full circle back to the outset of the conversation with Gary in multisensory. We're feeling more and more of that, whereas before we were so grounded in separation, we didn't know to look for or to recognize these nuances. But now, when you're aware of them, you start to pay attention to where familiarities may be recognized and where you know, synergies or comfort level or that's it, you know, right? Familiarity, a knowing, a kinship, you know, those things. I think it's like the difference between when you would dial a radio station and go right to the exact station or be a little bit outside of it. Mm. And I think that's the difference, is we are now fine-tuning.
You hear the static.
Exactly.
Right?
We're fine-tuning, whereas before we would have to be right on in order to have a familiarity. So you would meet someone and there's someone you'd connect with. Well, of course, that was right on, right? But then you wouldn't feel the further away you went from that dial, you wouldn't feel that. And I think now we are starting to tune in to a broader spectrum and being able to fine tune and recognizing, you know, much more closely the lineage of the connectivity of that familiarity.
You know, that's interesting. I'm almost adopting a phrase. We talked about this last night at dinner with some friends and potential business partners, where we talked about how Will Rogers used to say he never met a man he didn't like. And I was just thinking of that phrase, especially in the audiences, because I'm one to walk about and you know, greet people, stay as long, at least at this point, stay as long as I can to say hello to people and, you know, have pictures taken and stuff like that. So anyways, I was thinking about this, how I'm thinking that there is never, that maybe there is that somebody is a friend unless proven otherwise, you know, kind of like guilty unless proven otherwise. I mean, innocent unless proven guilty, right? It's like we can almost look at the people that we meet because they come into our lives for a reason, and they may be a friend. Now, if somebody's trying to burglarize you, they're not their friend. But like he said, some of your soulmates or some of your, you know, soul encounters are actually people that are trying to help you on some level or something.
You're playing a different role. You have to have racers in the race in order to win the race, right?
Oh, interesting.
So even though you're racing against those racers, and each one of those is your enemy.
Interesting.
You have to
quote
have...
unquote. You missed the quote unquote because we're on radio, but and we won't be on. We need to go. So we're going to go, but we're going to continue this conversation between Mark and I and Gary and I at the Mastery Conference and for years to come with you all as well. So thank you all for being with us. I'm Filippo Voltaggio, along with our producer Mark Lejeune and Dorothy Lee Donahue. We're grateful that you're part of this world, part of this show, and part of the positive changes we all wish to see in the world. Ciao, everyone.
You have been listening to Life Changes with Filippo, with the Master of Change, Filippo Voltaggio. Listen live every Monday night at 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time on the BBS Radio Network and visit us online at lifechangeswithfilippo.com. That's Filippo, F-I-L-I-P-P-O. Today's show has been made possible in part by our sponsors, IonWays Water Systems, Change Your Water, Change Your Life, and Love and Miracles with Dorothy Lee Donahue. To learn more about them, visit the sponsor page of our website. Once again, join us here next week as we consciously explore and embrace the only constant, life changes.